Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us. Father, we're thankful that you have given us your word, that you have allowed us to see faith in your word and showed us how to live by faith in your word. Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and that there's nothing evil that comes from you. Father, you've given us the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He brings all things to our remembrance, and he shows us things to come. And Lord, I just ask tonight that you'd speak through me. I yield myself to you, that you would give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak, and we'll give you all praise, honor, and glory for everything done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to John chapter 7, and we'll start there. I want to most of you probably know this about me, some of you may not, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a big deal to me. You know, I know sometimes people wonder, and I want to explain this because I said this a little bit on Sunday, but I want to teach a little bit more or just share a little bit more on it. I talked about if you read through the Bible and you look, you'll find that there are different kinds of church meetings in the Bible. A lot of times people don't, you know, we lump the whole Bible together like everything all just happened in one day. Actually, in the book of Acts, you have about a year between each chapter. Did you know that? Sometimes when you're reading about the miracles and the signs and different things, it can feel like, man, they must have done nothing but just, you know, saw people raised from the dead every day. It's actually not like that, okay? It would go in stages, and it would happen in stages. You know, if it was the case where it was going on consistently and constantly like that, day-to-day life wouldn't have happened, and the church today would be so far, you know, away from where they were at that time, that it would seem strange. But you got to understand, sometimes you just got to go back and you got to hear, like Pastor Brett had shared on Sunday, some of the different things that he was sharing about the history of the Bible and how we got our current Bible today. Okay? Some of that stuff helps you because it keeps things in perspective. Miracles and wonders, like the series that we just got done with as far as God of Wonders is concerned, is designed to give you that, just kind of punch you with faith and get your vision off your world out to a bigger God. But a lot of our life, and we learned this in the parenting series, that the lady that was teaching it, she said life is very daily. And it's true. And people of faith don't lose expectation for the spectacular, but yet know how to live supernaturally every day. And supernatural is not always spectacular. In fact, most of the time it's not. Okay? I'll tell you, let me give you an example. If you're patient all day with your kids, that is supernatural. Okay? That is supernatural because you are functioning by the grace of God, not in how you feel. And the enemy, if you let him, he'll minimize those things. He'll minimize things like, oh, you didn't retaliate, you walked in love. He'll try and make you seem weak, or he'll minimize it. That's not that big of a deal. Actually, it's a huge deal because you yielded to the nature of God in you. And so that is just as awesome as seeing somebody get out of a wheelchair. You realize that, okay? And so it's one of those things where I don't want to lose focus on, not only do we want to expect God to do amazing things, and we are, but also we got to live day to day. And I'll tell you this, if you, and I've watched this happen over and over again. I mean, it's like I've been in different places, different ministries, different churches, and I've watched this happen. There are people who are so burnt out on spectacular things that they just don't want anything to do with it. And then there are those that are so just, they've been taught to a crisp. You know what I mean? I mean, they're dry as can be. They have no, that they're like, I just want something spectacular to happen. But they, the balance of the two is where we want to be. We don't want to just be, I don't feel disappointed if I don't see a vision of Jesus every day. Why? Because I know from the Word, and I know from studying the Word and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is with me every day. You know what I mean? And so when spectacular things happen and amazing things happen, the people that are stable in the Word are the ones who last. The ones who don't have a lot of stability in their life, they haven't spent a lot of time in the Word, they haven't developed a personal relationship with the Lord, without something big happening, they feel like God's left them. They feel like, how are we going to go on? But faith is very daily. And if you're going to function and be strong in faith, you want to learn how to put the Word into practice when you don't feel like it on a daily basis. That's what builds endurance in your life. And once endurance is built up, then when God comes in, or when the manifestation of what you're believing God for comes in, or you see amazing things, or God breaks out in revival, you don't get tossed about by what's going on and the emotion of what's going on. You're just enjoying God, but yet you're steady every day. You're just, yeah, God, you and me. Hallelujah. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Lord, I'm thankful that you did this in their life, but we're just steady every day. We're just doing what we know we're supposed to do until you get to eternity. And that's part of the goal of the church. It isn't just to have a move of God. It's to have God move and us live steady lives. Life in Christ is big, and yet it's very minute. It goes from the massive to reaching the world to, which car do I buy, Lord? Oh, yeah. How do I respond to my spouse? How do I respond? I'll find you. How do I respond? How do I respond? Yeah, I already did. We're being open. How do I respond to my boss? Those are supernatural if you respond out of God. If at the end of your day you feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it, you didn't function out of your spirit. You functioned in the natural. Because Jesus never got to the end of his day and went, oh God, why? Why are you doing this to me? God's not doing that to you. The devil's just going, wham, wham, wham. And you're going, God, help me. And the devil's going, he doesn't even know he can beat me. And the devil's just, you know what I mean? That's supernatural. That's supernatural where when you turn and you look at the enemy and you start saying to him, no, the Word of God says this, Satan, and I declare this to you in the name of Jesus. You're no longer just asking God to do something. You're now understanding that you've been given something and you're responding out of that. There is no feeling or situation that you're facing that is greater than the God in you. There's not one. It doesn't exist. And so if you have that understanding and you're thinking that way, it will help you in your spiritual battle. It'll help you in your day-to-day. And you'll get stronger. Okay? And so what you realize this, that what ends up happening is very simply this, is the Lord is not going to just let you be a baby all your life as a Christian. No more than you should allow your kids to be babies their whole life and do everything for them. No. They need to do something themselves. I like the little memes every once in a while, or pictures I see on Facebook every once in a while that say, if your child knows how to use any of these, and it shows a tablet, a TV, you know, then they can use these, and it shows a broom and a vacuum cleaner and a... Why? You are not your kid's personal servant. What are they going to do when you're gone? So kick them in the rear end and get them going. They hate me. That's okay. You're not their friend. You're their parent. You're not their friend. I'm going to get an amen, I promise. You're their parent.
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
They're not. They can be taught to do something all the way from the beginning to the end. And don't buy into the lies of the enemy and the world system. Well, my child just can't keep their attention on this or that. No. Don't confess that junk. Don't follow it. Believe God that God's working in them.
Amen.
Well, it's difficult. Oh, well, you were difficult too. And yet you turned out. So. All right. So, those are all side notes and they're free. Let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Rivers of living water. That's my... We're talking about praying with tongues. John chapter 7, verse number 37 says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the what? The Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what do we see here in verse 37? We see here that Jesus is declaring that there is a promise of the Holy Spirit coming, and we are to drink of him like water. We see also in verse 38, here we see that the Holy Spirit shall flow out of your belly, and it will flow like rivers of living water. Notice it doesn't say river. It says rivers. Rivers of living water, okay? So it's multifaceted. The Holy Spirit is multifaceted. Verse 39, it says this. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which would come after Jesus had been glorified. So in other words, this is a separate thing from his death, burial, and resurrection. Does that make sense? This is a separate happening from his death, burial, and we're going to see this a second time. But after Jesus was raised from the dead, then the Holy Spirit was given. Do you remember where Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "It is to your advantage that I go away"? You know that had to be received by faith. You know, we read that and we think, oh yeah, okay, Jesus said, it's to my advantage that I go away. But you're not, you got to put yourself in those disciples' position. Who are they walking with every day? You know, people, Christians, young or not understanding or for whatever reason or heard somebody preach it that shouldn't have preached it that way, they'll make statements like, boy, I wish Jesus was here again. Really? Because Jesus said it was to your advantage that he went away. So what are you saying, Sean? I'm saying you're at an advantage. You are at a distinct advantage. In fact, and you can't even put it into words, the advantage you have. You say, why do you say that? Okay, well, let's just put it in natural terms. If Rick is Jesus, and I want to talk to him, and Heidi wants to talk to him, and Susan wants to talk to him, and Bonner wants to talk to him, and Joel wants to talk to him, Tessa wants to talk. Do you see what I'm saying? I have to wait till all of them are done before I can talk. But the Holy Spirit is in every one of you. I don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Well, I got to find the pastor. No, you don't. All you have to do is check on the inside. Because you got him on the inside. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, God gave us ministry gifts and brothers and sisters in Christ to be a part of the body and work together. And there are times where you need that. But as you develop and grow in the Lord, you should need it less and less. It's not that you'll ever do away with the ministry gifts, but you should be the one who now people are coming to you and you're helping them. And a lot of times people don't think that way. They just think, no, it's always going to be this way. Wrong. Your relationship with the Lord should be growing. I've seen this happen where you'll have a parent who is very strong in the Lord. And as time goes on, the children don't get strong in the Lord. And when that parent dies, I've watched families just explode. Because they don't realize how much that parent is holding things together in the Spirit and in prayer. See, that's not going to happen with me and my family. You should declare that too. It's not going to happen with me and mine. I mean, when my parents are going to go on to be with the Lord, glory to God, I'll see them shortly. But I know the Lord. and I will know him. You understand what I'm saying? You say, why do you say it like that? It is an issue of faith. If you're not going to fight for that relationship with the Lord and intimacy with him, it will not happen. If you're just wondering, God's just going to do it. Just, you know, like we heard this minister say this last week when we were gone. He said, you know, the people's famous statement is let go and let God. He said, wrong. The Bible says that you are to lay hold of. The Bible says in James, you're to draw near unto him and he will draw near unto you. But you've got to make a move. You know, we believe in grace and faith. Not just grace. Not just grace. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'll tell you this, impossible to know him. If you're not going to allow your heart to go that direction, people say, well, what do you mean by that? You are desirous of him. You want to know him. You want to know him better than your parents knew him. Mm-hmm. You see, it's a competition. That helps with me. I want to know him better. I was so thinking this way at one point, and I was reading through the epistles, and Paul makes this statement in the epistles. I'm writing down the revelation that I got so that you can know what I know. You know what Paul was saying to me in that letter? You say he wasn't saying it to you, he was saying it to the Ephesians. No, he was saying it to Sean. It's my letter. Paul didn't know that, but we know it by the Spirit. What he was saying to me is, you know all that amazing revelation that we look at Paul's readings and go, man, this guy knew some stuff. He was saying, you can know it too. Actually, Jesus said, it's enough for the servant to be as his master. Yes. Actually, you should know God like Jesus knows God. So let your faith grow. Let yourself believe. A lot of times people hold back and they don't even realize it. They think, well, I know grandma knows God. Good. You know him. That's grandma's desire anyway. Right? You know him. And then as you know him, you teach your kids to know him. Right? I'm going to tell a story on Kylie. It won't embarrass you, sweetie. So the other day, she had a stuffy nose or whatever. Was this yesterday that I told you? Yesterday morning, right? So I was, and I noticed it was just kind of lingering around. And Heidi will just agree in prayer and we'll just take care of it. But I didn't do that. I just kind of waited. And then yesterday morning, I was doing my devotion. And I came out and the kids are getting ready for school. And I said, how long are you going to put up with that? You know, people think, you're so mean. You're so mean. Oh, you're right. I want her to fall apart when I leave. Come on. See it right. Okay. And so then she dealt with it. And then I asked her tonight and she said it left, what, almost right away. Yeah. That day. Why? Christ lives in her. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in her. Now what did I do? I just created a double threat. Not only can we function there, but she can function there. And if she can hear from the Holy Spirit, if she can act on the word, which she can, anybody can, at any age, for the most part, you know, as long as there's understanding there, you can teach your two-year-old to say, in Jesus' name. You know what I mean? And it creates, this is what's supposed to be happening. There should be this generational growth that's going on where one family goes to a level of glory and then the kids under them goes to another level of glory, so on and so forth. What has happened through the years is that we've had this, and it's not supposed to be like that. It's just supposed to be steady up to where we go up and up and up and up. Does that make sense? So part of that is the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 1. And I'm going to read starting in verse 1 down through several verses. Probably through verse 8 or so. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I just got to say this because I just saw this. You know, Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered. What were his sufferings? This is it right here. Do you see that? He said he presented himself alive after his what? After his suffering, right? What was his suffering? It was the cross. That was his suffering, okay? Don't try and make it anything other than what the Bible says it is, okay? Because sometimes people are like, well, Paul's thorn in the flesh was this or that. Paul's thorn in the flesh was the Jewish hit squad. Go dig and find it. You say Jewish hit squads in the Bible? No, but you might as well call them the Jewish hit squad. They would go into areas and stir up the rebels, the thieves in towns, the Jews would, after to go drive Paul out. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
What's going on today?
Right now.
Nothing's changed. Same spirits. All right. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, so this is Jesus assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, listen, they're born again at this point. They believe Jesus was raised from the dead. They're looking at him. They're having conversation with him. He showed them proofs that they were that he was the Christ. Okay? So this is a separate experience from salvation that he's telling them about. And he says this. He says, they ask him, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me or for me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I want to say this. Notice he said, you shall be witnesses. He didn't say you shall go witnessing. There's a difference. You are a witness. We need to get out of this mentality of, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with going out and sharing Jesus intentionally, walking through a neighborhood, knocking doors, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to have the mentality wherever we go, we're a witness. Whether you're saying it, whether it says it on your shirt, whether you're wearing your Jesus hat, those things are not bad. But I've seen people with Jesus shirts on that didn't act like Jesus. So you're a witness. And we receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to be a witness, okay? All right. Let's go to Acts 2. I'm just showing you some scriptures here, just laying a foundation. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. It says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So what do we know they're doing right now? They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They are waiting. You know, you'd think after Jesus was raised from the dead and you saw him, these guys were antsy to go somewhere, yet Jesus said, no, don't go yet. Don't go yet. So they obeyed him. Why? You're going to receive power. It's interesting to me that there wasn't, it wasn't enough just for them to be born again. God wanted them to have something more. It's enough to be born again to get to heaven. But why not have a juice, an extra shot of power before you get there? You know what I mean? And have ability that God wants to, is giving you and commanded the apostles and the disciples to receive. You know, some people have said, well, it was just the apostles. There were 120 in the upper room that got baptized, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. I wonder what the Catholics would do with that. Mary was a tongue talker. I mean, you know what I mean? Sometimes I think people read the Bible like this. No, that's not in there. No, I don't see that. You know, but you need to think, you need to look, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Because as you do and as you are open to Him, you'll begin to see things and you'll go, oh, like, I don't know. I listened to Brett's message from last week. I never thought of the bones being carried out of Egypt and into the promised land. And then Jesus was raised from the dead, and a bunch of the, have you ever read that in the Gospels? Where the Old Testament prophets and different ones were burst out of their graves and talked about Jesus? You know, people think, what do you say, what does that mean? That means Jesus hit so hard and resurrection power went everywhere that all these dead people just went, whoop. Yeah, it was like, have you ever thrown a rock down really hard and the rocks around it went boom, up? That's what happened. And they testified of Jesus. How do you miss that? People think, oh, well, you know, sometimes we think, well, people just don't know. Or people are just that arrogant and hard. And they do not want to submit to God. And they will not. The Jewish people in Jesus' day saw people come out of their tombs. And they still refused to believe. They watched Lazarus rise from the dead. And they refused to believe. This is not, oh, I wonder what's going on. This is flat out rebellion. I hate you, God, and I'm going to do my own thing. That's what that is. And sometimes, you know, because of some of the ways that Americanized Christianity has happened, we don't like to think that way. But we got to look at the Word. If we don't, we'll be in trouble. Okay, verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Boy, that would have been fun, huh? Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, what brought the multitude together? The sound. It wasn't the tongues. It was the sound. What they heard, the sound of the Holy Spirit coming. Okay? So the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak what? In his own language. Okay? Keep that in mind for when we get later on here, because I'm going to explain some things to you that people trip up over on other tongues. Then they were all amazed, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? So they know the nature or the background of these men. They know they're Galileans. So what do they know? They shouldn't know these other languages. That's what they're saying. They shouldn't know these other languages. And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes through all of them, okay? So they're hearing all those languages. It would be like if God dropped you in the middle of China. And, okay, just imagine me, 6-foot white guy. Okay? Okay? I'm dropped into the middle of China. They're not going to look at me and go, oh, that guy's Chinese. But yet, what if I opened my mouth and started speaking Chinese fluently to them? And preaching the gospel and telling the wonders of God. That's what's happening right here. That's what's happening right here. They are speaking in the, and the Bible calls it the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. Think about it, guys. You've got to think about this. It's amazing. When you pray in other tongues, you could be speaking angel. You say, what is the importance of that? So the angels know the orders that they're supposed to take. Yeah. Well, can't the angels just know all the languages? I don't know. I'm not God. He was the one that said it. I'm just going to obey. I mean, it's just awesome. So they hear him in their own language. Verse 10. No, I'm skipping that. Verse 11. Cretans and Arabs. So we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said what? They're drunk.
Why not?
They're drunk. What did Peter get up and say? Did Peter get up and say they were not drunk? Thank you. As you suppose. Peter said, or Paul said what? Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a play on the word. There's a similarity there. So the whole idea of being filled with the Spirit and or being drunk in the Spirit, it's not made up. It's in the Bible. So why do people mock it? Because they're too much up here and they're not enough right here. They're too much out here. They're not aware of their God. They want their God to fit inside the parameters of their denomination. They want their God to fit inside the parameters of their what they think God should be. Again, if you can wrap God around in your thought, you don't have a God. You have an idol. You have an idol. Well, I'm just going to do good. You can't do enough good to be good before God. Impossible. Well, I just think we should have morality. You don't have any morality without Jesus.
That's right.
It doesn't exist in you without Jesus. Well, you people say, well, no, I've been a good person. You cannot be good without being born again. It's impossible. Even if you don't do anything externally, I know some people are tripping over this, but it's the truth. Even if you don't do anything externally, just like Jesus looked at the religious leaders of their day, of his day, you are of your father, the devil. You know, that probably didn't bless them. But you know what? The truth is the truth. And until you switch families, I'd rather know the truth now than find out later. And that's why the reason why they weren't born again is simple. They were not humble. They love themselves more than they love God, including their thought that they, you know, their religion. They love their religion more than they love God. Their relationship wasn't real. Not with all of them. Some of them chose that way. Okay. Acts chapter 19. Let's look at another one. Salvation separate from Holy Spirit baptism. This is a good one right here. There are several of them that I could give you, but this one is just so true. It just spells it out so clearly that it is such a... it just makes it... This is the one I like to use. Acts 19 verse 1 says this, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" And there are a lot of people in that place today. "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into what?' 'John's baptism.'" What was John's baptism? Is John's baptism the same as Jesus' baptism?
No.
No. It's not. So Paul says this, into John's baptism. "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him.'" That is on who? Christ. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." John was not baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus because it had not been revealed yet that Jesus was the Savior. Does that make sense? So are these men born again until after Paul baptized them? No. Now let me say this. You do not have to be baptized to be born again in water. Okay? People say, well, how do you know that? Well, the thief on the cross proved it. When Jesus was crucified, right? Did he have time? Oh, boys, wait. Hold up the crucifixion. I need to be baptized or dip the cross in water. Do something. No, none of that happened, okay? There are people that get born again right before they die, and they don't have time to get baptized, okay? So that's, don't go that way, because there are people that do. Yeah, they get religious about things. But my point is this, and I'm not trying to minimize baptism either, because baptism's a big deal, okay? But he says this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So what happened? At that point, they were born again. Then what happens right after that? And when Paul had what? So I guess he dunked them and then laid hands on them. So he dunked them in water and then he laid hands on them and he said, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with what? Tongues and? No, they didn't go to prophecy school. You say, why do you say that stuff, Sean? I have no idea. But it comes out. They didn't go to tongue school or prophecy school. They didn't go through, I don't even know if the book of Corinthians was written at this point. But they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke with other tongues and they prophesied. And there were about 12 of them. So I guess Paul just went down the line, put them under the water, brought them up, laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and prophesied. Just like that. We make it too difficult sometimes when we should just believe and do. We should just read it and do it. Well, I don't know how to prophesy. I don't guess they knew how either. But there is such an encounter with God and the Holy Spirit that's taking place that it's just coming out of them. The power of God is in such manifestation that they're hearing the words and there's an understanding and an anointing and a way of sharing that's coming forth where people are hearing, their hearts are open, they're receiving and responding right away. Because they're sensitive to the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. So, we see that first of all, Jesus promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. Third, we looked at also that salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate experiences. Okay? Now, you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. That's not necessary. I feel sorry for people that aren't, though, because it's such an advantage. The ability of God to help. I mean, I could tell you thing after thing after thing after thing that I've prayed about in other tongues and got an answer, and there's no way I could have known any other way. Save my skin over and over again. And I can tell you thing after thing at times where I didn't pray and it cost me my skin. Okay? It's better to be with. Okay? It's better to be with. So, the public gift of praying in other tongues, okay? Now, we're going to begin to make a distinction here between the private gift and the public gift. What you saw in Acts 2 was a manifestation of the private gift, but it switched quickly to a public gift. You say, what do you mean by that? They're speaking in tongues that a man hears the language and goes, that's my language. And they hear them speaking about the miracles of God. And if you read through 1 Corinthians 14, we'll look at it here in a minute, but if you read through there, Paul goes from private to public to private to public to private to public tongues. Back and forth, back and forth. There are people that have read 1 Corinthians 14 and so confused themselves, it's not even funny. It's not that hard to figure out. He's partly talking about gifts operating in the church and or in public, and he's partly talking about his own private prayer life. Why say in the book, why say in the chapter, forbid not speaking with tongues, and then earlier in the chapter, I'd rather speak 10 or 5 words in a known language than 10,000 in an unknown tongue? God's not the author of confusion. If we're confused about it, it's because we're not seeing it from his perspective. We're just trying to figure it out with the noodle. And there ain't enough noodle up there to figure it out. There's plenty of power here to enlighten your head about what's going on. But it's simple to figure out. It's just that people, they confuse it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make logical sense. Salvation doesn't make logical sense. Being born again doesn't make logical sense. The Bible doesn't make sense. It makes faith. Right? And you are faith people. You are. You're believers. You're strong. You have the Lord in you. You can understand because you have the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't go to college. So? I know people that went to college, they don't know any more about God than before I went to college. When I didn't know. I know people that have degrees upon degrees. And it didn't help them any. They're more confused after than when they started. Because God doesn't need the most, He doesn't need a massive brain. He needs faith. He can make your brain massive. He can make your intellect way up there. He made you. He knows how to fix you. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. This is the public gift of tongues he's speaking of right here. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues. To another what? The interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as who wills? As the Spirit wills. So these are public gifts. There have been times where people have not quite understood or have maybe questioned, why don't we have a lot of praying in tongues on a Sunday morning here? Well, because unless it's a public gift, I'm not going to just get up and pray in my private prayer language. And there are people, I can feel it sometimes with some people, it's just like, you're ashamed of the Holy Ghost. Are you kidding? Have you been around me? You know what I mean? I just want to follow the rules.
Right.
And what I've found through the years is this. You're going to have all sorts of different people that come on a Sunday morning. Now, the crowd that's here right now, none of this is new to you. For the most part. It's either you've experienced it or your family has, and you're around it. So most people, because of wrong teaching and or experiencing things that were just wild, which I'm not against wild services either. I've been in them. I've participated. Okay? Yeah. I can run in a service with the best of them. I can cut a rug, dance. I can do it all. Okay? But what I've found out through the years is those are great times in the Lord, but that's not day-to-day life. And as a pastor, I can't just have Holy Ghost meetings. What are you going to do when your marriage is hurting? Get together and jump around and try and, you know. You understand what I'm saying? You got to know about the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You got to know about the order of the family. You've got to have practical, biblical, day-to-day truth to be able to walk in so that when you do come into the Holy Ghost meeting, you can sit down with no condemnation going, yeah, we're living the life. And then when it's time to run, buddy, run. When it's time to shout, shout. When it's time to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, operate in them. But you got to have a balance. Otherwise, I've watched the devil take people out over little, simple, day-to-day biblical truths. Why? Because they were not taught how to function daily. They were just taught how to have a move of the Spirit. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic with that. I'm just trying to paint a picture so that you have this balance in your life to where, hey, I'm telling you, man, I've been in some good Holy Ghost meetings, some good believers meetings, but nothing holds a candle in my private time with the Lord. Nothing. Why? Because this isn't just a book. I know the man. I don't need to see a movie on him. You understand what I'm saying? I know him. I know him. The greatest deliverances in my life have come here. Just sitting down and talking to Jesus. And when you do that, when you know him like that, then when you get in those services where it's a believer's meeting, God will go, hey, Mark, go talk to this guy. And you're receiving, but you become a conduit. You're not just looking to receive. You're now a disciple. You're now looking for the storm so you can speak peace over it. You see, I'm a soldier. I'm not just called to preach. Anybody can know God like that because of the blood of Jesus. You're that close to him. And so when you get that balance, whoa, you become something God goes, look at him. Look at him down there. They know me. Let's do it. And then he'll say, all right, sovereign move of God. Let's let the compassion of God flow through that city. Why? I got about 40 people that know me intimately that aren't going to let the enemy take them out when they go to war. And when the tidal wave of his presence comes, and buddy, it's coming. We're going to be, woo, ready to go. Not overwhelmed, not overtaken, strong in faith, knowing our God and doing exploits and giving him the glory. Yeah, I'm ready for it, man. But I don't want to just charge out there as a pastor and then go, and we got to go back. They didn't want to get out of their tents because they were scared. Right? You got to have a wineskin. For strong wine, you got to have a strong wineskin. And that's what's taking place. People don't always realize it. They think, well, you know, we went to the Wednesday night, we went to the Sunday, and then I served in this area, and then you don't understand what's going on inside you. Inside you, if you do it right, there's a strength coming. And this thing that used to always topple you, that always used to frustrate you, it will come against you and you go, what was that? Oh, well. And you just move on. What did Paul say? None of these things move me. They're going to kill you. None of these things move me. It's just amazing. I'm excited for where we're going. Whew. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Private prayer. This is the part I want you to get. Okay? This is the part that I want you to see. When you speak, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to who? So what is this? If in Acts 2:4 they were speaking to men. This is the private prayer language. This is it. But you speak to who? What? When you're praying in other tongues, you're speaking to God. You're speaking to God. Okay. However, in the Spirit, he does what? He speaks. You know what the Amplified says? He that speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks hidden secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Can you imagine? Well, I'm praying, but it doesn't make any sense to my head. Exactly. Well, my head wants to go this way. Grab your head and make it do what it's supposed to do. There are many times I've gone to prayer and I'm praying in other tongues and my head's going, you got to go do this, Sean. I go, shut up in the name of Jesus. And I'll just keep praying in the Spirit. And eventually your brain will go, eh, he ain't quitting. I'm not doing nothing. You just take a nap, brain. Just relax. Yeah. And I'll get into my spirit and the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. And there begins to take place, this understanding begins to come to me. The Lord will speak to me about things. I'm praying things out I don't even know about yet. Because remember, the Holy Spirit was given to you, why? To reveal to you things to come. Well, that's not fair. You're right. It's not fair to the devil at all. I'm messing up his schemes even before I get there. Why? Praying in other tongues. Okay, private prayer. The importance of speaking in other tongues. And I think this is my last one. Jude 20. Yep, this is it. Oh no, I got one more after this. I got to tear through these. So when you pray in other tongues, you're praying secret truths. And this is a prayer that is a private prayer language, not before men. Not before men. Okay, the importance of speaking with tongues. Jude, 1, verse 20. There's no chapter 20 in Jude, okay? But you, beloved, that's you, say, that's me. I'm beloved. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? You're not giving yourself faith. You're building yourself up on the faith you already have. You cannot pray and get faith. Okay? You cannot pray and get faith. You cannot pray and get faith. In the Amplified, it says this, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 again says this, "For he who speaks in a tongue," you don't have to turn back there, "does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him," including him. You don't understand you when you're praying in other tongues. Okay? You don't understand it. But in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The Amplified, again, it says here, "Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." What did we read in Jude 20? Jude 1:20. You edify. You build yourself up when you pray in other tongues. "But he who prophesies does what? Edifies the church." Then what does Paul say in verse 5? "I wish you" what? "All spoke with tongues." Huh, I wonder if it's for everybody. All means all. You can look it up in any Greek lexicon. You can go all the way back to what all means, and it means all. It's everybody. In other words, Paul was not like, "I'm the amazing apostle. I get tongues, you don't." He's saying, "I want you all to speak with tongues." Okay? In the Amplified, it says this, "He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself." And then down in verse 5, he says, "Now I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues." I love that. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says this, "I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all." And the implication here is that I speak in tongues more than all the Corinthian church combined. Now, if you've ever read about the Corinthian church, that's where Paul put the churches in order. I mean, they were coming together, and you had people yelling in tongues on one side and trying to prophesy on the other, and people laid. I mean, it was a mess. There was no order to any of it, to the point that Paul said, "Look, if you're in the sanctuary and there's no interpretation, just pray quietly and to yourself and to the Lord. And if the prophets aren't present, just shh. Don't say anything." I mean, this church, this is the church. Okay, this is just wild to me, okay? But this is the church that's getting drunk during communion. And Paul didn't say they weren't Christians. You're saying it's okay to get drunk? No, he told them, "Stop getting drunk." In other words, the point is that these people were just a mess. And God's through the Apostle Paul, God is putting everything back in order and giving it some structure. Why? Because you grow more that way. You don't grow in disorder. You grow in order. You grow in structure. And there's a time to be in wild services, and there's a time to just hear the word. And I'll tell you this, the majority of the time is to hear the word. And you need to be taught more than you need to be preached. Well, this doesn't sound like a very exciting message. When you do it, it will be exciting. You know what I mean? Saving money isn't always that exciting. But when you got 20 grand in the bank, it's a little more exciting. It was just getting there. Does that make sense? So there are principles that when you do them, you get to the right place. And that's how God is. And then he'll look down and go, whew, let's just blast them. Yeah. Yeah. There were revivals in the past, because I've studied a lot of them, that were lost because the people weren't mature. It should have been sustained. But it wasn't. Because the people weren't ready. Interesting. Lastly, tongues can be used for worship. Acts chapter 10, verse 46 says this, "For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God." You can worship God. Paul said this, "Forbid not tongues." 1 Corinthians 14, 39, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Lastly, let me say this. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts 19, verse 6. Paul said this. It says this, that when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Notice it wasn't with... The Holy Spirit was in them when they were born again. But what is this? This is the Holy Spirit. You know what's interesting? You know in Acts, and I'm just going to take a couple more minutes here, but you know in the book of Acts, when Philip had the revival, you know Philip didn't pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit? They sent other apostles down to pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what they prayed? They didn't pray, "Holy Spirit, come from heaven." They prayed that the Holy Spirit would fall on them. Fall on them. Why? Well, he's already here. All he's got to do is fall. Isn't that an interesting prayer? What does that mean? The Holy Spirit just like stage dived? Fall on them. And what happened here? When Paul put his hand on the person, what happened? The Holy Spirit came on them. And they what? The Holy Spirit spoke. Nope. They spoke. I'll tell you this one more thing. I was at a Assembly of God youth camp. And every year at the Assembly of God youth camp, they'd give people the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And speaking with, and it became this drama. I'm not despising the Assemblies of God because I loved it. I mean, I loved watching God move. They allowed God to move. But there was always this, what about the kids that don't speak in tongues? You know, and it almost turned into a little bit of, it's not fair. It has nothing to do with fair. It has to do with yieldedness. And all we had to do, really, was just teach. But see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit at times had become an emotional experience rather than an actual receiving of power and by faith speaking. Does that make sense? So in other words, I had this one young girl come up to me. And she was so, because you know they line the ministers in the front and then they give the altar call and you know 200 teenagers come forward and all the girls cry and all the boys try and not cry. Or at least get in a huddle so nobody can see them crying. Because everybody knows that if you're really touched by God, you cry. I'm just digging at it a little bit, just to dig at it. You're saying crying is, listen, crying or laughing or whatever is your response to God. It's not God. God's not sitting on you going, you know, blubbering over you, and then you do. The Holy Spirit's not a mess. You're the mess. You know, people think, because I could tell you many stories right now. I've experienced so many fun things. I remember one year I was at camp. I'll go back to the other one in just a second. You need to hear this. I remember one year I was at camp, and I'm laying hands on kids, going down the line, laying hands on kids, just going down the line. And I'm used to being under my anointing that God's given me. I'm used to it. And I got an intern with me, and he will not stand still. And I'm looking at him, and he's tall. He's taller than me and real lanky.
You know? And I'm like, okay. And I'm teaching him. You know, I'm teaching him how to lay hands on people and hear the word of knowledge and flow with the Holy Spirit. And he's just, you know, all over the place. And I'm going, stand still, stand still. You know, I mean, he cannot function. And and I'm going, because I'm there too. You know, I mean, I feel it. And it dawned on me later, the Lord spoke to me, said, Sean, you're acclimated to this. He's not. Ah, I got revelation. I don't need to kick him. he didn't know what to do with what was there. There was one time I was in a service, and the guy that was supposed to get up before me, all he was supposed to do was do the announcements, introduce me, and let me preach. He got up there, was a mess. He didn't do the... He just walked around and just kind of bumbled around and nothing really happened. And I'm looking at the service order and looking at him, and I know the guy. And I'm looking at the... And I'm going, this is not what we're supposed to do, you know. I'm just thinking, what is he doing? And then finally he just goes, kind of points at me, you're up, Sean. And I got up and did the announcements and everything else. And I'm like, what in the world happened? You know, because normally this person was very just crisp, smooth, a teacher, you know what I mean? Just very smooth. This was not smooth. I mean, it wasn't that it was awkward. You could tell the anointing was on him. So we go to the office because we worked together at the time. I go to the office the next day and he goes, and I go, what happened? Because I didn't get to see him after service. He said, Sean, I've never experienced this before. But he said, I was very aware that I was not in my anointing. I was in yours. And I went, oh. And so he wasn't acclimated to what I'm used to. And it just kind of, I don't know, made his wires go, you know what I mean? I don't know what happened. But the anointing came on him. He was just, it was the Lord confirming some things to me that he'd been speaking to me about the anointing that was on my life. And then also, it was him seeing a distinction between, I'll put it to you like this. As a minister, if you're under another minister, you acclimate and are under their anointing. Because God functions in authority. He doesn't function in chaos. Now, you may have your own gift or call or anointing, but until you, until God gives you your own, or you may always be under. He just does it that way. And so what this minister was saying to me was he realized that the Lord was telling me I had my own anointing. In other words, he was moving me out. Does that make sense? Back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the girl. Okay? Because I want you to get this. She came up to me. She's already distraught. I've come up every year to be baptized. And part of me, you know me, I'm a little sarcastic. Part of me just wants to go, but I didn't. Okay, I listened to the Holy Spirit. So, but anyway, I listened to the Holy Spirit. So, and she's just, and I'm like, okay, I got to get her calm first, because this isn't going to work. She's just going to go away another year. And so I looked at her. I said, look, I said, none of this is about you falling, shaking, crying, laughing, blubbering, whatever. I said, I want you to just calm down. I said, I'm going to put my hands on you and you're going to feel God go through you. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit, because that's what happens, right? That's what we just read.
That's right.
And I said, when that happens, just speak. Don't yell. Don't cry. Don't do anything. Just speak. Make sense? And when, so I laid hands on her, she kind of, you know, because it's kind of like electricity a little bit. Yeah, sometimes it can be. I laid hands on her, and she just began to speak just a little bit, and then more, and then more, and bam, she's baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like that. You should have seen the look on her face. It was like, no more waiting, no more wondering. You know, because people go, and we get these history of, people like to see manifestation and they like to build doctrine out of physical things rather than building it out of the Word. And people, and then the people that get, that say, you know, we don't want to glorify the physical things. The people that like the physical things are like, well, they just don't want the move of the Spirit. No, that's not it. We want it all. I don't mind laughing. I've laughed so hard I fell out of my chair. I don't mind running. I don't mind we went to prayer school at Rhema. There were skid marks on the wall, 4 feet high, from shoes. From shoes. You say, what do you mean by that? We had a running direction. You know there's a lot of running and shouting and jumping when you have a designated direction that everybody has to go. You say, why would you pick a direction? Have you ever seen two people that are running in the Spirit run right into each other? It's not pretty. You have joy and then a healing service all at once. I love that, but not without the other. Make sense? Does that make sense? So, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I went 10 minutes over, but I think we started 10 minutes late. So, does anybody have any questions? No? If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd be glad to pray for you. But I'm going to let everybody go, so because we got to go. But I'd be glad to pray with you and get you filled with the Spirit. So it's not an issue of shaking, rolling, any of that. It's an issue of speak. And you know what? You can do it in your own prayer time at home. You say, what do you mean by that? Speak at my own? No, you can get filled with the Holy Spirit at your house by yourself in your own prayer time. All you have to do is just believe. Say, Lord, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then just yield. Now listen to me. Semo nomasha zevevero goshe. Aledenze ne mamoroko sasara. Aredivisi kisi anda. So malavaninde kesemo nanasisi. Erenando. So hear the Spirit of the Lord, which is this. Stay out of your head and yield to your heart. Learn how to listen from the inside, and the rivers of the Spirit will flow out of your innermost being. This is not with your head, but with your heart. I commune, as I said in my word, with your spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. So when my power comes upon you, don't look to your mind, but yield to your heart and speak forth the utterance that you hear, and you will be filled. Just like that. Right? I could do this all night. You want me to go again? Let's do it one more, okay? Sema namanzo, avaje zevele le linde en songo. And this word is going forth for the purpose of light. Do not be ashamed of this word. Do not be afraid of this word. When others ask you about it, this is my word. They are seeking for truth. They are looking for light. So share the truth and be that light, and they will come in, and more will come in and receive this truth, and power will be increased in your area and in your life. Just like that. Just like that. And you can live in that place all the time. All the time. You just live there. I've done this at a gravesite. The preacher doing the funeral saw me in a believer's meeting. And the minister that was doing the believer's meeting had me get up, and the minister would give a tongue, and then I'd give the interpretation. Just like that. You know, I didn't have the interpretation before I got up. I just got it by faith. Just go, buddy. Now, that's where I'm at. But it started by me praying in the Spirit by myself. Amen? And so don't be afraid. Receive from Him. Enjoy it privately. And eventually, maybe it'll be public. Amen? Bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.